The brain is resilient, but recovery shouldn't be a solo journey. Welcome to the Healing Brain Trauma Podcast. From the operating room to the living room and everywhere in between, licensed clinical social worker Dr. Kathleen Monahan and neurosurgeon Dr. Edie Zussman break down the science of injury and the art of healing. If you're navigating life after a diagnosis or supporting someone who is, join us as we transform complex neurobiology into hope and actionable tools for your recovery. Today's episode is the intersection of brain trauma and mental health. We will be discussing some of the common overlap of symptoms between the two.
There's so many people right now in the world today, men and women, people of all genders, who have had the lived experience of trauma. They've had car accidents. They've had violence in a relationship. They've had falls or sports injuries. And we think of those as traumas. And a lot of times people are left with mental health symptoms. But one of the things that our research has shown through Safe Living Space is that a lot of these mental health symptoms have traumatic brain injury as their origin, and they get better if you understand both the mental health symptoms and the elements of traumatic brain injury that led to those symptoms appearing.
And I think you're absolutely spot on, Edie, because if you don't identify where those symptoms are coming from, you could be going around in treatment circles forever. It's having a handle on where that symptom originates and then how you then follow a course to treatment. So doing trauma therapy for a person when there's actually a physical component, not the whole thing, but a physical component to it, i.e. brain trauma, without identifying that brain trauma is not going to alleviate the problem. It's not going to alleviate the situation. And for the person could walk around for quite some time. I don't want to say decades, I'm tempted to, but they could walk around for quite some time without that symptomatology appropriately being alleviated.
And I think we see that in a lot of examples, one of which that comes to mind are the folks who've had traumas that led to whiplash types of injuries. Those are the flexion and extension or quick angular movements that happen. And individuals will get treated for the symptom, which is the physiologic sensation of tightness at the back of their head. Some people will call it occipitocervical headaches or occipital neuralgia. And if the brain injury isn't understood, the fact that one of the reasons these muscles are tight and spasming is because the eyes aren't working in conjunction or the vestibular system isn't working in conjunction, essentially you can continue to get wonderful, best treatment for the muscle spasm, but it's going to be cyclic. It's going to return. And I'm wondering if you see that when you've got a client who's coming in for mental health symptoms, let's say anxiety or depression or PTSD, have there been times in your practice where the mental health therapy was helpful and it helped them maintain the status quo and function with those symptoms, but that once the brain injury was understood, that those symptoms can really respond?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, just sound mental health treatment means you begin with ruling out anything that's medical in the first place. So in my practice, that's the first question I ask. Have you seen a physician? Have you ruled out? When is the last time you had a physical exam? But I've seen people over the years who've had balance issues, headaches, vision difficulties that really have emanated from a brain trauma. And once we got that situated, once we got that figured out that that's where the problem is emanating from, then some of the trauma piece works out really well. You see this very often in car accidents. And car accidents can be very traumatic for people, let alone the physical symptoms that occur.
And so I think that is why we came together. I just want to say that when I met Dr. Kathy Monahan, I feel like I met my counterpart. We grew up in very different lanes. I'm a trauma trained neurosurgeon. I've done somewhere between 5 and 6,000 brain and spine surgeries, you know, always practicing at busy trauma centers. And my concern was that we were seeing a group of people, especially during COVID, we were seeing more women in our traumatic brain injury clinic, and it was due to domestic and intimate partner violence. And what I realized was that it's both, that both of these things live in the brain, your neurologic as well as your mental health. So it dawned on me that if we were looking at people with brain injuries, why is it being treated separately? That I'm seeing them for their neurologic symptoms and someone else is seeing them for their mental health symptoms. But Kathy, don't you think about that? Just like it's all in the brain. It's and maybe that's the way we define brain trauma, as that combination of what I've been taking care of, which is the traumatic brain injury, and what you've been taking care of, which are the mental health symptoms of trauma.
Absolutely. And Edie, I must tell you that I felt that you were my counterpart, although trust me, you don't want to put a scalpel in my hand. I'm a clinical social worker, but over the years, I have seen people, particularly when it started when I was doing my postdoc and seeing women in the shelter who I was almost positive that they had a brain injury, that they had a brain trauma. And so my first study was really asking them, listen, have you hit your head? Describe to me what happened. And sure enough, in my first study, there were 33% of the women that came through the shelter had had a brain trauma. So again, it's, I think, the thing that brought us together and then investigating how much of this, how much of the brain trauma is undisclosed in a variety of populations.
And I just want to undisclosed and unrecognized mental health providers, the medical providers, and the individuals themselves, their friends and family don't see that brain injury. It can be invisible. Some of our research has really been involved with, I mean, a lot of people don't know you can get a brain injury without hitting your head. You can get a brain injury without losing consciousness, that if there's a gap in your memory, that could represent a brain injury. And what we're seeing is that these whiplash mechanisms, where someone's even restrained in a car accident or where somebody's been shaken or hit, that can cause a long-standing brain injury with multiple symptoms, like what you mentioned, balance, vision, vertigo or dizziness. And the other source of brain injury that I think is underrecognized in a trauma population is the strangulation suffocation induced
Yes.
injury. That I think your work has also called out.
Absolutely. This unfortunately is quite common in the domestic violence world, and it can have lasting impact on this population. So part of healing brain trauma is to get that word out, to get that word out to people who are experiencing this difficulty, but also to professionals in the field to be on the lookout for not only the symptomatology, but the etiology, where this all comes from. How did this happen in the first place? And again, I, in our previous talks, I've said, if you don't ask the questions, you're not going to get the answers. So sometimes these questions are difficult to ask, but they're absolutely necessary.
You know, and brain injury and brain trauma, and we're defining brain trauma as that combination of different elements of a brain injury, traumatic brain injury associated with the trauma of the experience of getting that injury. You know, the idea that both of those live in the brain, that our brain has two halves. It's got the emotional part and it's got the physiologic, functional, structural part. And that when there is a hit to the head, anything that changes blood flow to the brain can end up causing a change in brain function. And then you know what, you know, the number one symptoms of traumatic brain injury from any of those causes actually have mental health labels. The number one symptom yes. can be depression. The number two symptom, especially for school age kids, it's number one, attention problems, right? Mm-hmm. What about difficulty remembering? I think one of the symptoms that a lot of my patients present with is they feel like they're not the same person, that they can't go to the bars anymore. They don't like to go to loud restaurants. They don't like to socialize in big parties or football games like they used to. And what we find neurologically is that that can result from just the loss of selective attention, which happens after many different types of brain injuries. If they're in a grocery store and there's music and fluorescent lights and a lot happening, in about 15 minutes, they'll tell me their heart starts racing, that they're breathing quickly, that they're feeling so anxious. Some people will label it as a panic attack or their PTSD, and that they actually have to leave the store. And when the mental health symptoms are the most prominent symptoms, I'm going to ask you, could there be times that someone's going to a wonderful mental health provider who is helping with those symptoms, but there just isn't traction? There's not that, okay, we're over the worst of it. This is getting better.
Unfortunately, I'm sure that happens a lot. Because again, if you're not backtracking on the medical piece, then you're not going to understand the symptoms that you're seeing right in front of you. So if someone has, in my own practice, I've seen it, where someone has memory loss or they can't retain information. And then the person that they're living with tells them, well, you're so stupid, you can't remember anything, and not realizing that the connection is to the brain trauma. So then that person begins to isolate. You know, I don't want to do this because I might forget, or why don't I remember this? I must be stupid, and then beginning to believe that. So now you're talking about self-image, you're talking about judgment, you're talking about isolating because they're afraid to interact with people, and then it snowballs. It snowballs into something much, much bigger. So again, identifying that issue in the beginning is a primary important factor.
Mm. And I see the same thing with my veterans and my former athletes, like the football players. You know, they may have sustained multiple teeny tiny injuries along the way that accumulate over years. And so many of those folks tell me, well, they don't feel the same connection with their partner. They don't have the same sexual energy. They tell me they have difficulty with insomnia. Insomnia, 90% of people with a concussion will tell you that their sleep is disturbed. They're either sleeping more or they're sleeping less. So for me, it was such an important connection to have with you, to be able to share what I see every day in my practice as a neurosurgeon, to understand how these symptoms look when they come in the door labeled mental health rather than in clinic door that says traumatic brain injury.
Yes. And I agree with you. I think it's a partnership made in heaven, looking at the mechanical and functional issues along with the mental health issues. And hopefully people will be able to take information away from our conversations together and be able to apply them either for themselves or for the people that they work with.
Thank you, Kathy. Thanks for doing this. Yes. I'm excited to do this together with you and see if we can reach the 50 million people who are living in that duality of having mental health symptoms of an underlying traumatic brain injury, many of which aren't recognized, especially the ones that are kind of, you know, a broken tooth or a broken nose from an altercation or a whiplash injury with neck pain. A lot of time, those individuals aren't even screened for traumatic brain injuries. So I think that's another part of the journey, is to empower the people joining us on this journey to understand what a brain injury is. and sometimes be their own advocate. But when it's a brain injury, if the individual doesn't know, and if the work environment and the friends and family don't know, then it's like, well, why aren't you going out to dinner with my friends and family? Or why were you late with this project at work? Or you know, hey, did you forget, you know, that there was a kids activity that you were supposed to attend?
Or if I could just add, isn't this important to you? Because how could you forget if it's important to you? And I think you don't care. That's why you forgot, without acknowledging that there may be the brain trauma at play there.
Beautifully said. It pulls at my heart when I see individuals with an unrecognized brain injury from a brain trauma, you know, where both sides of the brain are affected, or both elements of the brain are affected, the mental health and the neurologic elements together. It's a gap in evaluation and care for individuals who are between those two worlds, where they've got mental health symptoms and an underlying traumatic brain injury, or multiple brain injuries that can be known or unknown, can be recognized or unrecognized.
Absolutely.
I feel that that's what healing brain trauma is made for. It's made for individuals who may actually have both elements. They have mental health symptoms as well as neurologic injury.
Absolutely.
Enjoying healing brain trauma? This podcast is part of Safe Living Spaces' mission, supporting brain injury awareness. If you would like more information about this podcast, please check out our website at safelivingspace.org. Sign up for our Brain Brief newsletter and consider becoming a donor to carry on the important work at Healing Brain Trauma. Every gift helps us continue sharing expert insights and expanding brain injury awareness where we live, work, and play. The Healing Brain Trauma podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and is not intended to provide medical, physiological, or therapeutic advice. Listening to this podcast does not establish a doctor-patient or therapist-client relationship. If you or someone you care for needs medical or mental health support, please consult a qualified professional. See you next episode.